The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Megillas Esther, Vahi bimei Achashverosh, Vahu Achashverosh HaMelech, Mahaydu Ve'atkush, Sheva Ve'esri Mumeo Medino. It was in the days of Achashverosh. This was Achashverosh that reigned from Haydu Ve'atkush, from India to Africa, Sheva Ve'esri Mumeo Medino, 127 states. The Gemara tells us that he reigned, Misefa Atsefa, ruled the entire world. This takes place, the story of Purim, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews were exiled by Bavel, by the Babylonians. They went into Bavel, there, another great empire, second empire of the world, Modai Uparas, the Syrian Persian Empire, conquered the Babylonians and in turn took over the exile of the Jews. So the Jews were exiled first into Bavel and then from Bavel into the Syrian Persian Empire. Bavel is in the area of Iraq. The Syrian Persian Empire was in the area of Iran. And this is how Mordechai and Esther and the other Jews came to Shushan HaBirah, to the city of Shushan. And that exile lasted for 70 years. And this took place right at the end of the 70 years, in which, shortly after the story of Purim, they again returned to Eretz Yisrael for the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, the second temple, under the leadership of Ezra HaSefer. Now we all know Purim to be a joyous festival, a festival of a lot of fun-making. It's a happy time, a time for Purim plays, a time to get together. But what not all of us are aware, that it has, together with this joyous note, it has a very, very serious note and a very, very great depth. Some of the greatest depth that is found amongst all of the Yom Tovim, all of the holidays, and in the entire Torah. And it is unique in many ways. And in some dimensions, even though Purim was a Yantif which came about after the time of the Torah, after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in some ways it surpasses even the Yom Tovim, the festivals of the Torah. To give a few examples of this uniqueness and of some of the pondering question marks which surround Purim. Firstly, the pasuk in Mishle, and the Medrash in Mishle Shechetev expounds this. In Tess Aleph, Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Beisel, that it was the wisdom of the women which built the house, Tovcho Tivcho Af Orcho Shulchono. She slaughtered and prepared the meat, and she even set a table. So the Medrash tells us this is referring to Esther, Zu Esther Amalko. Esther the queen, Bishah, she Yigia Tzar Yisrael, Hiskino Sudila Hashverish. When there came a great danger to Israel, she prepared a banquet for Ahasverish. Ula Haman Arosho and to Haman the wicked. Bishikrase Biyain Biyaser. And she made them drunk with wine. Savar Haman Biatzme Shokokale Kovit. And Haman thought that she was honoring him. Behula Yoda Shepor Salemetsuda. And he didn't know that she was, to the contrary, spreading her net. Shemitech Sheshikra Eseyain. Through making him drunk with wine, Konso Umasa Le'ilum. She acquired his nation forever. She acquired a name forever. Af Orcho Shulchona Be'ilamazeo Be'ilamabo. And she set her table for this world and the next world. This is what the Medrash tells us about Esther. Then the Medrash goes on to explain, what does it mean that she acquired a name forever? In the Megillas Esther, near the end of the Megillah, it states, in Posuk Yud Chof Zayin, Kimu v'kibla Yehudim aleihem v'alzarem v'alkol anilbim aleihem. The Jews accepted for themselves and for their seed and for all that would come to be with them this Megillah and these mitzvahs of Purim. V'lo yavor li'ayis eisim eshnei hayomim ma'ela. And it shall never cease that they will make these 2 days, the days of Purim and Shushan Purim, kiksavam v'kizmanom, in accordance to what is written and in accordance to its proper time, b'chol shona v'shona, every year. What does it mean, it shall never cease? So the Medrash tells us, kol ha-meyadim asidim libotel. There'll be a time when the Yom Tevim of the Torah, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, will not seem so important after the Melech HaMashiach comes. Those Yom Tovim will not seem so important anymore. They'll be secondary. But we may Purim lebetelim le'elam. But Purim will never cease. Shenema v'le'avor, as it states, that these shall never cease. This is one unique point that we find in regards to this Yom Tov. A second unique point is we find that the sages set aside Purim to be a Yom Tov forever because of the great miracle that took place. And the Gemara tells us that this was the last great miracle which would take place during the time of the prophets and during the time of the writings. Now, many miracles have happened to Klal Yisrael. Why did they choose this Yom Tov in order to set this aside for generations? What did they see so special here in Purim? A third very strange mitzvah that we find in regards to Purim is the Gemara in Masechta Megillah and Av Zayin Amud Beis tells us, Omar Ove Mechaiv Inish Livisume Bipuria Adelayoda Beinor Homan Boruch Mordechai. Rove said that a person is obligated Livisume. Rashi says Lishtaker Biyayin. A person is obligated to become drunk with wine on Purim until he can no longer distinguish between the cursing of Haman and the blessing of Mordechai. Now, we have a mitzvah of Kiddush every Shabbos. And that the halacha is, the law is, that if you take a cup that holds a revis halug wine, a certain amount of wine, which is not a large amount, and you drink mole lugma, enough to fill a person's, one side of a person's mouth, he has fulfilled the mitzvah. When it comes to Yantif, there's another mitzvah of drinking wine in Simcha Ele Bebosse B'Yayin, but still there is no mitzvah to overdo it. When it comes to Pesach, the Pesach Seder, there's a mitzvah of Arba Kesis to drink four cups of wine. But here on Purim, the Gemara tells us that one is obligated to drink Adeleyoda until he no longer knows how to distinguish between the cursing of Haman and the blessing of Mordechai. Why? And this is brought, this halacha is brought in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch. Another very puzzling Gemara is in Mesechta Chulin and Daf Kuf Lametes Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Haman minateir minai. Do we have an indication for Haman in the Torah, even though he lived after the time of the Torah? So the Gemara says, yes. Hamin ha'etz refers to the posuk that when the snake came and enticed Chava to take from the tree of knowledge, Eitz Hadas Tevara, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and he said, Hamin ha'etz, did you eat from the tree which I commanded you not to eat from? So there the word Hamin can be spelled the same way as Haman. Here we have an indication of Haman in the Torah. Now this is something that we can see some logic in, because it was the snake that enticed the first woman to eat from this tree, and it was this tree that brought death to the world. So it is very justified that Haman's name should be indicated by this tree, Hamin ha'etz, Haman. And Rashi adds, we see that Haman was hung on a tree. And then the Gemara a little later on says, Mordechai minateir minayin. Do we have an indication for Mordechai? So the Gemara says, yes. Dixiv mordoror, umitargeminon miri dichtyu. By the incense which we were commanded to take for the altar, so the main incense is called Mordoror. And this spells out, especially in the Targum, Mordechai's name. So this also was something that is quite justified, because the incense was something that was very sanctified by Klal Yisrael. It was very special. It went on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, into the inner chambers, into the inner altar. So it is justified that Mordechai should be indicated there. But then what is puzzling, the Gemara asks, Esther min hateir minayin. Where do we have an indication for Esther? So the Gemara brings a posuk, V'anechi haster aster. The Gemara is referring to the posuk in Parshas Vayelech. In the Devarim Parshas Vayelech, that's Lamer Aleph, and the posuk is Yud Ches. We'll start from one or two psukim before, Hashem said to Moshe, Hincho Sheichi v'mavesecho. You are going to die. This is speaking right near the end of the Sefer Torah. You are going to die now, and after your death, after your death, and after the death of your disciple Yeshua, the nation shall go, and they'll worship the gods of the land. And I shall forsake the nation. They shall forsake me. And they shall break my covenant. And I will become angry with them. And I shall forsake them. And I will hide my face from them. And they will find themselves in great troubles and difficulties. And they will say on that day, and they will say that because God is no longer with us, He has forsaken us, therefore all of these troubles have befallen us. Now this is the pasuk that the Gemara brings. I shall conceal my face from them on that day. And all because of the evil that they have done, because they have turned to gods of others. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when they will leave me after the death of Moshe, and they will go and serve other gods, then I shall withdraw from them. I will conceal my face from them. Haster Aster. Haster Aster means to conceal, to hide. And Esther is the same word. So the Gemara says here's an indication of Esther in the Torah. This is very difficult to understand, because Esther was a brocha, Esther was a great blessing to Klal Yisrael. While here it seems we're speaking about a klola, a curse. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that you will forsake me, you will go away from me, I will go away from you, and I shall conceal myself from you. Haster Astir, I will doubly conceal myself from you. And the Targum writes on this, V'nechi salko asalek shkinosi minayin b'yemahu. I will take my shkina, my presence, I will withdraw. So from the words that I will withdraw my presence from you, the Gemara says, this is where Esther is indicated in the Torah. This seems quite puzzling. So we have quite a few questions here. One is that we find that the Chazal took this yantif, or this happening, and made a yantif out of it, even though there have been many miracles to Klal Yisrael. And secondly, we find that this yantif even surpasses other yantifim. That even though other yantifim may one day become quite secondary, but Le'yavor, these days will never cease from Klal Yisrael. And thirdly, we find the mitzvah that one should drink so much on this holiday, where no longer does he know the difference between cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai. Something very unique. And fourthly, the Gemara comes and says, where do we find Haman's name? That's talking about the tree which brought death to the world. It's very good. Where do we find Mordechai's name? Speaking about the psomim, the k'teiris, the incense which came on the altar. Mordechai was a blessing. Where do we find Esther's name? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he will conceal himself from Klal Yisrael. This is something very difficult. And there's great depth that lies in the answer to these questions. And let's see if we can shed some light this evening on whatever we'll have time for. You must excuse me, I have a cold this evening. The Gemara in Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet. The Gemara goes through a discussion, a very important discussion, and a very deep discussion. And I would like you to bear with me as we learn this Gemara. It is something you'll have to concentrate on. Tonu Rabbonim, our rabbis taught, Arboim Ushmeina Nevim, Vesheva Neviyos, 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, Nisnabu Lahem LiYisrael, all prophesied for Yisrael, Lepochsu VeLahesiru Al Mashikosev Betera, and not one added one word to the Torah with his prophecy or her prophecy, or deducted one word from the Torah. With one exception, Chutz mi Mikro Megillah. The only exception was Mikro Megillah Purim. When it came to Purim, Esther, who was a Nevi'ah, she was a prophetess, the Gemara says. Because it states that when she went to Ahasuerus, Vatilbash Esther Malchus, she put on the clothing of the royalty. And the Gemara says, it does not say clothing, it says royalty. She put on the Ruach HaKodesh, the sanctification of the royal Melech Malchei HaMelochim, King of all kings. This is what she adorned herself with. And she rose to heights of prophecy. She went to the leaders of the generation, to the Sanhedrin, and she said that she feels, and if they will agree, that we should add a mitzvah to the Torah. And that should be the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, that every year Jews should read the Megillah. And they agreed with her. So from all of the prophets and prophetesses that Israel had, not one added a mitzvah or deducted a mitzvah except Esther with Mikra Megillah. The Gemara says, my Dorosh, where did she find the source to do this? Why did they agree with her? Omer Ibchir Barabin, Omer Bishua Ben Korchu, Uma Me'avdus L'cheiris Amrin and Shir Mimisa L'chaim Le'kolshken. They had a source. The source was when the Almighty split the Red Sea for Israel, they sang Shira. They sang a song. Ojo Shir Meisha Uvenei Yisrael Es Hashir Azais. Or Shira L'Hashem Ki Goi Go. They sang a song. They praised Hashem. We will sing to Hashem because He is so exalted. Now there they were merely saved from slavery. If we are saved from death, how much more so are we obligated to sing a song? This was the source for the Megillah. Then the Gemara comes along and says, "Ihochi halol nami nemo." Then, according to you, why don't we also say Hallel on Purim? On Pesach, not only did they sing the Shira, but we say Hallel all of the time. Why on Purim do we only read the Megillah, but we don't say Hallel? If we say Hallel when we are saved from slavery, so how much more so should we say Hallel when we are saved from death? Now it seems from the Gemara that Hallel is a greater dimension than Shira. The song, this merely related what took place. Hallel is a praise, an open praise to Hashem. Hallelujah, Abdei Hashem. That the servants of Hashem should praise Him. Haidor, to thank Him. So the Gemara says, why then don't we say Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara answers, Lefi she'neimrim Hallel al neshe b'chutz l'oretz. When it comes to Hallel, that you say only on a miracle which takes place in Eretz Yisrael. On a miracle that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't say Hallel. This miracle of Purim, this was in Shushan Habira, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Gemara Yitzias Mitzrayim, Dnei Shebechutz L'Oretz Eicha Amrin Shira. But Pesach also was outside of Eretz Yisrael. It was in Egypt. The Gemara answers, Kirisanyo. It's a difference. Achelei nichnasu Yisrael oretz, hukshara kol arotzes le'meshiro. Mishenichnasu Yisrael oretz, le'hukshara kol arotzes le'meshiro. It's a difference. There it was before they came to Eretz Yisrael. Before they came to Eretz Yisrael. Then, Eretz Yisrael was not that special yet. So therefore, you could say hallel on miracles which took place anywhere. But once they came to Eretz Yisrael, then you only say hallel on a miracle that takes place in Eretz Yisrael. And Purim was after they already came to Eretz Yisrael. This, Rav Yitzchok said. So this was Rav Yitzchok's answer as to why don't we say hallel also on Purim. Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Nachman says, no, not so. You should say hallel on Purim. And you can say hallel on a miracle which takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael. And you do say hallel on Purim. What do you mean you do say, but we don't? Kriyasai, zu halilo. The reading of the Megillah, this is the hallel. This is what Rav Nachman answered. So he says you do say hallel. And you can say hallel on a miracle that's outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the reading of the Megillah is the hallel. Rava Omar. Rava says, no. You should say hallel. And you could say hallel. But here's different. Bishlamo hosom hallelu avdei Hashem v'lei avdei parei. Elohocha hallelu avdei Hashem v'lei avdei achashverish. Akati avdei achashverish. Over there, by Pesach, you can say hallel because it was a complete freedom. Before, they were slaves to Pare, and now they became free men. Over here on Purim, how can we say hallel? We were slaves to Ahasuerus before, and we're still slaves to Ahasuerus. Even after the miracle took place, the Jews still lived in Shushan. They were still under the reign, the sovereignty of Ahasuerus. Esther was still in the palace. So how can we say that all of the servants of Hashem should praise Him? They're still servants to Ahasuerus. And then the Gemara goes one step further, and it explains that this that we said, that you could say hallel outside of Eretz Yisrael, on a miracle outside of Eretz Yisrael, this is because when they went into Eretz Yisrael, and they settled there at Israel, and the majority of the Jews were there, then we didn't say hallel on a miracle outside of Eretz Yisrael. But once the Golus took place, Chozru le'Eteren Rishon, then you could say hallel on a miracle outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara, as we can see, is a complicated Gemara. There are three opinions here. But let's try to simplify this and extract from here what is relevant to our discussion. Firstly, we see clearly from the Gemara that the reading of the Megillah is classified as a Shira. And it was established because Klal Yisrael were saved from the imminent death of Haman and Ahasuerus. And the source to establish it was from the Shiras Hayam, the song of the Red Sea. If there they sang the song, so we certainly should sing the song. And it was the only time that a mitzvah was added. That's one thing we see from here. Secondly, we see when it comes to the singing of Hallel on Purim, on that, the Gemara says three opinions. Either we don't say Hallel on Purim, because you don't say Hallel on a miracle which took place outside of Eretz Yisrael, or if you contend that you can say Hallel on a miracle that took place outside of Eretz Yisrael. One reason is that we shouldn't say Hallel, because it was not a complete Hatzolah, a complete salvation. Because even after we were saved, we are still slaves to Ahasuerus. And a third opinion is that the reading of the Megillah is the Hallel. Kriyasai Zuhi Halil. Incidentally, the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah, Perek Aleph, brings just that teretz. He says, on Chanukah you say Hallel, every day of the 8 days of Chanukah. On Purim, you do not say Hallel, because Kriyasai Zu Halilo. The reading of the Megillah is the Hallel. So this is what we see from the Gemara. Now, on why is Hallel dependent on a miracle in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael, this we will explain a little later on. But two factors come out very clearly from this Gemara. One is the reading of the Megillah is a shira, a song. And two, according to one opinion, it's even a Hallel. Now this is very difficult to understand. Why is the reading of the Megillah a shira, a song? We can understand that the Oz Yoshir Meisha, what was sung on the Red Sea, we can understand that's a song. It's poetry. It's praise. Ki Gogaya, he's exalted above all. Sus Verechve Ramavayom. He took the horse and the chariot and a rider and cast him into the sea. It's full of praises to the Almighty. But the reading of the Megillah has no praise in it whatsoever. Not only it has no praise in it whatsoever, the Almighty's name is not even mentioned in the reading of the Megillah. It merely tells us a story that if someone else would read the story, it would seem like a very good novel, makes very good reading. It would have the basis of a good movie, suspense, and in the end everything works out quite well. Why is this called a shira? This is the shira, the song. And how could this be called Hallel? The reading of the Megillah is Hallel. To understand this, we have to go into further depth. We have to understand what is shira, what is song, and what is Hallel. The sages teach us, and we've spoken about this in past Shu'urim, that when a person is sad, and sadness generally is brought about by some type of loss, if it's a loss in a small degree, so then it's a slight sadness. If it's a loss in a great degree, it's a greater sadness. To the point where if a person loses, heaven forbid, a close member of his family or a close friend, so then it is termed Avelus. He's an Ovel. This gives birth to silence. State by Aaron HaKain when he lost his two sons, Vayidaim Aaron. Aaron was silent. The Gemara tells us, an Ovel Ein Leper, he has no mouth to speak with. In the first 3 days, he's silent. You shouldn't talk to him if he doesn't want to talk. This is the reason why we feed the oval, the Gemara says, eggs or beans, because it's round without a pear, without a mouth. And David HaMelech prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that give me Yisurin, Give me affliction rather than death. Leman yizamecha kovod v'lo yidom. Because if I have affliction and life, I can still sing your praises. But otherwise, I am silent. And the reason for this silence is because when a person loses something, he is not a complete man. When he loses something of money, he's lost something that belongs to him. If he loses part of his physical body, heaven forbid, he's not complete. If he loses part of his family, this breaks the person. And since he's not complete, and he's not in the dimension of a full man, so then you have the element of ofor, of dust, which he was created from, comes into its foreplay. And dust, the earth, the sages refer to as the daimen, silent. There is no sound whatsoever in the dust. There is no movement in the earth. And man was created, mina ofor, from the dust. And this is why the Gemara tells us, an einin, when a person, on the day that he lost a close relative, he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdosh if he's a kohen. Because to serve in the Beis HaMikdosh, he must be a complete person. And the Gemara says, shlomim bizman shehu shalem. One of the sacrifices is called shlomim. And this refers to completeness, when he's whole, complete, not in such a state. So this is silence. The opposite to this is when a person receives something. This brings joy to him. A new acquisition. This brings simcha. This is why the mitzvah to make a brocha shechayonu. When a person has a new acquisition, or atov amitiv, because this is an addition to him, he is becoming fuller. If the acquisition is of a great dimension, then the fullness which comes to a person is of a great dimension. If life is brought to him, a new child is born, this is a very great dimension of fullness in Shlemus. If life is brought to him, if his life is saved, this brings a perfection to him. And the greatest perfection and completion that is brought to a person is when he comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a soul, a neshama. And that neshama is part of the Almighty. And when he comes close to the Almighty, this is an addition to that soul. This is a neshama yisera. And this is a growth in him. And this brings simcha. And when a person is so complete and so full, then he's the opposite of the element that he was created from the dust. He is man in his perfection. And he seeks to manifest this joy. And then he comes to the level which the sages refer to as shira, a song, where the joy is not dormant, the joy is not silent, it is not potential, but must find a reality. And it finds reality in song and in praise, in Shira and in Hallel and in Haidah. And this is why it states, Vayar Yisrael es ayoda hazoko. Klal Yisrael saw the strong hand of Hashem. They saw how close HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to them on the Red Sea. Vayaminu b'Hashem, they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'b'meishavdoi. And Oz Yoshir Meisha Uvene Yisrael. And then they came to song. And this is what David HaMelech said, Leman Yizamecha Chavayit V'le Yidoy. Give me life in order that I can sing your praise and not be silent. So we see that these are two contrasts. Death is the complete antithesis to song. And this is also what David HaMelech said, Lehamesim Yahaleluko. The dead are not capable of praising Hashem. Now, if the song and the praise is because what's happening to the person, then the song and the praise must correlate. It must describe. It must sing out what the person saw, what the person experienced. This is the manifestation of this spiritual uplifting, of this spiritual experience. So it must sing out and describe this. It must describe what is happening to the person, and it must describe who is giving this to the person. And therefore, on the Red Sea, where Klal Yisrael saw exactly what took place, it says, Vayar Es Yisrael, Vayar Yisrael Es Ayodah Hazoko. They saw the strong arm of Hashem. Roa Shifchal Alayam Mashalai Roa Yecheskel Ben Buzi. Rosos Shifchal Alayam Mashalai Roa Yecheskel Ben Buzi. A simple handmaid saw on the sea greater miracles than some of the greatest prophets ever saw. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu come with miracles, with the overturning of the sea, with the smiting of the firstborn, with the 10 plagues. And they saw it with such clarity that Ze Keli V'Anvehu Mare Be'etzba. They pointed their finger and they said, Ze Keli, this is my God, and I shall beautify him. The miracles were so clear, and the vision was so precise. The experience and the uplifting, therefore, was also with great precision. And therefore, they sung out exactly what they saw, and they praised what they saw. Shiru Lashem, Ki Ga'ei Go'o. We shall sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty. That was by the Kriya Shamsuf, the splitting of the sea. But what took place in Purim? In Purim, they saw no miracles. There were no supernatural miracles that took place. They saw no hand of the Almighty. everything that took place was covered by natural events. The fact is, before or after, one could not really distinguish if it was the work of the Almighty at all. So therefore the Song of Purim cannot be one of clarity, one of preciseness, one of singing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of singing out of the great miracles that's reaching a person. But it too must be a song which was similar to what took place. Something all covered and all concealed. Now let's explain this a little clearer. We quoted from the Gemara that on a miracle that takes place in Eretz Yisrael, there everybody agrees, you should say Hallel, you should praise Hashem. But on a miracle that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael, this becomes questionable. Except then the Gemara said, that was when... This Gemara is also brought in Masechta Erechin and Daf Yud. And the Marsha explains. And what the Marsha says is also in the commentary of the Vilna Gaon on Megillah and in others for him. Because when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, Niskatsho, the land became sanctified. Va'akorish Baruch Hu Nikre Elekeo Oretz. Asher Hashem Elokecha Deiri Sheiso Tomid. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a particular guidance to that land. Like the Ramban writes in Parshas Nitzavim. V'hanei Shom Al Yodei V'lei Al Pi Shliach. And therefore every miracle that would take place in Eretz Yisrael was done by the Almighty Himself. V'roi Leima Olav Halal. So then everybody agrees. When you see open miracles and you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you are uplifted. You are perfected. And you must respond with Hallel. Mashenke Neshe Bechutz Loretz. But a miracle that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael, Shenas Al Pishliach, that the Almighty performs not directly but through some type of medium. He either performs it through the nature or some other type of medium. It is what is known as an Eis Nister, a concealed miracle. So then it's questionable. Since we don't see it, can we say Hallel? But then the Gemara says, Kivin Shegolu, once Klal Yisrael went into Golus, Chozul Leteran Rishon, then it was like before they came into Eretz Yisrael. Because when all of Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael, that's the only place of the Shekhinah. But when Yisrael's in Golus, then Imayanechi Betzor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into Golus with Klal Yisrael. And therefore, you should say Hallel even on miracles outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Hallel that we say by the reading of the Megillah. Now this means when all of Israel is in Eretz Yisrael, and there is the Beis HaMikdosh, that's the central point of the Almighty's presence. There you will see the Almighty's presence. Not in other places. So we cannot say Hallel on something that happens in other places. But once Israel went into Golus, into exile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not desert them. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to the burning bush, he asked the Almighty, why did you choose the bush to dwell in? And the Almighty answered, because the Almighty could have dwelled in a palace, or at least in a cedar tree. And the Almighty answered, If Israel is being afflicted, then I also choose a place of affliction. And he chose a lowly bush. And it states that in the days to come, when the Melech HaMashiach will come, Vishovas Shemesh Fuscha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return with the exiles. And the sages explain, what does it mean he will return with the exiles? Because Kivan Shagol Yisrael Gol Shchinti Imam. When they went into exile, the Almighty also went into exile. So one should not think that Jews are outside of Eretz Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Klal Yisrael. And when they went into exile, he went with them. Therefore, the Gemara says, you can say Hallel on miracles outside of Eretz Yisrael. But it's a different type of Hallel. There's a difference. What is the difference? Because in Eretz Yisrael, when all of the Jews were there, and the Beis HaMikdash was there, it was apparent the Almighty was there. We saw Him. It states in the Mishnah Oveis that every day 10 miracles took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Every day. On the menorah, on the candlesticks, there was a miracle every day, the Gemara says. Not only on Hanukkah, every day there was a miracle. There was sufficient oil put into every candle to burn throughout the night until the morning, and the Ner Marovi, the western candle, never went out, even though they were only lit the following afternoon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in his land with all of Israel, he made sure we saw him. And then any song that we sang, or any hallow that we praised, was accordingly. It was a clear song. It was an open song. Shiru Lashem, we sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when Israel went out of Eretz Yisrael, the Shekhinah, the presence of the Almighty, went along. But there was a difference. He was there, but we could not see him. He was concealed. We could not see him. Miracles happen outside of Eretz Yisrael, just like in Eretz Yisrael. But they are difficult to see. Great things happened. Great dimensions can be gained. But we cannot see them. Therefore, the song and the hallel must also be accordingly. Not explicit, but merely describing what took place, concealed by the natural forces. Now there's one further point that we must understand. And that is, Purim brought a new dimension to the people of Israel. What was this new dimension? David HaMelech wrote, Gam ki eilech begeitz al moves lo iro ro ki ato imodi. Also, when I shall walk through the valley where death is lurking and it is dark, I shall not fear because you are with me. What does it mean also? Gam ki eilech. Also, when I walk through the valley of death, I shall not fear because you are with me also there. What does it mean also? This is what is meant. When Israel went out of Egypt, they believed in Hashem. Why did they believe in Hashem? Because they saw Hashem. When Israel stood at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, to receive the Torah, Vayar Esakeles Vesalapidim, they saw Hashem. They saw the great miracles. The Rambam writes that on Mount Sinai, all of the nations saw. They saw and they knew. Nothing was left to speculation. Nothing was left to testimony by others. They saw, they heard, they knew. All of our emunah, all of our great faith in the Almighty is built on these principles that we saw and we knew. Ra'u v'yodu. They saw Vayar Hashem, Vayar es ayad hachazoko. They saw the strong arm. They saw the miracles. They saw the splitting of the sea. They saw the great thunders and the lightnings of Mount Sinai. They heard the voice. They saw Moshe go up. They saw and they knew. This is the cornerstone of our emunah. What would be, therefore, if we were in a situation where we could not see? If it was complete darkness, a spiritual darkness, we could not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could not see His arm. We could not see the miracles. We could not know. Logic would dictate to us that the Almighty is not here. Where would be our source for emunah, for faith? Purim. The Gemara tells us took place in a time of darkness. Not only darkness, but cheshech b'sei cheshech, in a double darkness. Because they were exiled from their Beis HaMikdash into Babel, into Babylonia. From there they were exiled a second time into Poras Umodai, into the Persian Syrian Empire. It was a double cheshech, a double darkness. Secondly, there were two enemies, two great enemies. One was Ahasuerus, who came from one nation, and the other was Haman, who came from Amalek. Thirdly, Amalek is the nation that the Torah tells us has the power to completely conceal the hand of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that my throne and my name are not complete in this world as long as Amalek is here. Because Amalek is the power of atheism, of denial. This was the setting to Purim. Golus shebeseich golus, an exile within an exile. The cheshech beseich cheshech, a darkness within a darkness. This was before the miracle took place. What happened after the miracle took place? After the miracle took place, the Jews were still slaves to Ahasuerus in Shushan Abira. Mordechai was the aide to Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus made him Mishnah the Melech, he made him viceroy. And Mordechai, who was from the Sanhedrin, Agdela, was from the great court, became an aide to Ahasuerus. And Esther was still captive in the palace of Ahasuerus. So we have a situation where before the miracle took place and after the miracle took place, there was a complete spiritual blackout, complete darkness. Yet, it states, Laihudim Haisa Eira, that to the Jews there was light, Ora. And the Gemara says, Ora Zu Torah. This light was Torah. And this light and this Torah was gained by the Jews in Shushan HaBira through this entire proceeding. And the Gemara says even further that this Torah was even a greater Torah than they had gained before. They came to new levels of Torah. Kimu v'kiblu, they gained to new levels and dimensions of Torah that they didn't have before. They saw light. Now what does this mean? Here it's a complete setting of darkness, and to the Jews there were light. There was light. But it means that from Egypt and from Har Sinai, they had built a faith in the Almighty based on seeing and based on knowing. From Purim, they rose to a new dimension in belief in the Almighty. Even when they could not see, and even when one could not know, logic would dictate that the Almighty has forsaken them. Still they came to the dimension of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they could not see and even though they could not know. And this is what Dovra HaMelech said, Gam ki eilech, not only when I see your miracles will I believe in you, not only when I hear your voice I will believe in you, not only when I know you are here I will believe in you, but gam ki eilech begeitz al moves, but also when I walk through a valley of death where it is impossible for the human being to see or to hear or to know your presence, le'iroro, I will have no fear ki ato imodi, because just like before you were with me, you are with me now also. The dimension that was gained on Sinai was they saw, they believed. They heard, they believed. They knew, they believed. The dimension that was gained on Purim was they could not see, and they could not know, and they could not hear. It was darkness. But still they came to the same level of emunah, to the same level of faith. And this was higher than before. Because firstly, it was not built on a premise. Being not built on a premise, it became more independent. Because something that's built on a premise, if that premise is absent, so then the building caves in. But secondly, it was greater. Because when a person sees, sight is limited. When a person hears, hearing is limited. If a person knows with his mentality, human intellect also is limited. And therefore the belief that comes from that also is limited. But when a person believes without all of these premises, then there's no limitation to it. All of the other Yom Tevim came because of a great or, a great light. They made light from light. Purim, they made light from darkness. There was darkness. And Layhudim Haisa Ora, and to the Jews there was light. All of the other Yom Tevim they sang out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in accordance to what they saw, in accordance to what they knew, and Purim. They sang out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in accordance to what they saw, but in accordance to what was deeply inbred in them. One was the song, Begilui, the Yom Tovim were open miracles, and the song was an open song, and the Hallel was an open Hallel. Shir LaHashem, they sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hodu LaHashem, give praise to Hashem. Purim, where everything was to the ultimate of Nister, to the ultimate of the concealed, their response came from the deepest concealed parts of the human being and of his soul. And therefore the Mikra Megillah, it's a song. But it's a song only to the Jew, not to the non-Jew. To the non-Jew, it's a story, it's a novel. To the Jewish soul, it's a song. Kriyasei Zuhi Halilo, the reading of the Megillah. You must say Halal and Purim, Rav Nachman says. But you do say, the reading of the Megillah is the Halal. On the other Yom Tovim, we have Halal, which comes from the mouth. On Purim, we must have a Halal that comes from the Penimiyas, from the innermost parts, the most concealed parts of the soul. Just as the whole episode was. Therefore, Kriyasei Zuhi Halilo, the reading of the Megillah, this is the Halal. There are miracles outside of Eretz Yisrael, especially when Klal Yisrael is there. Shekhinah is with them. The Shekhinah never departed from Eretz, from Klal Yisrael. But there's a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't reveal himself. He hides himself. But don't think, it's a tragic error to think he's not there. And we find something even greater. Where did Esther become this great prophetess? Did she become this great prophetess in the Beis HaMikdosh? Did she become this great prophetess in Yerushalayim? Did she become this great prophetess in Eretz Yisrael? Or did she even become this great prophetess in a yeshiva? No. She became this great prophetess in the house, in the palace of Ahasuerus, in Shushan Habira, which was the ultimate of Tuma, the ultimate of impurity. And at the time when she adorned herself to go to him, to save all of Israel, this is when she became this great prophetess. And from here our rabbis teach us, Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, elevation, spirituality, this is found all over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all over. To you it might seem as darkness, but you can make it into light. Even in the palace of Ahasuerus, this monarch that was willing to destroy Kol HaYehudim, all of the Jews. Minar Adzoke in Taf Noshim B'Yom Echod. All of the Jews in the world, young and old, men and women, on one day. Now we can understand what the Gemaras that we quoted before are telling us. The Gemara says, Haman, where is he written in the Torah? Hamina 8, the tree that brought death to the Torah. Mordechai, Moridichi, by the incense. Esther, where is Esther written? And the Pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, there'll be a time that Moshe will die and Yeshua will die and you will go and serve gods of others. And I will become angry at that day and I will Vazaftim, you will forsake me and I shall forsake you. And you will think that because God is not in your midst, all of these troubles have come to me. And I shall conceal myself from you because of all of your evils. The Gemara is telling us, Zu Esther. This is Esther. I shall conceal myself from you because of all of these evils. This does not mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be there. It merely means he will conceal himself. We know that great miracles will take place when there is open Shekhinah. Revelation. But where do we have a source that even great miracles will take place when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concealed from us? That source is Purim. That even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely concealed, still there will be great miracles. Vizu Esther. This is Esther. This is the power of Esther. That not only when he is revealed, but even when he is concealed. And this is why we find that on Purim there's a mitzvah that one should drink Adela Yoda until he doesn't know anymore. How to distinguish between cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai. What does this mean? The Gemara tells us, "Vayhi b'yom ha'shvi'i katev lev ha'melech b'yoin." On the seventh day of the great feast, the king was very happy with wine, and they said, "Bring in Vashti that we may gaze at her beauty." So the Gemara asks a good question: did it take him 7 days to get drunk? "Vayhi b'yom ha'shvi'i," they were drinking on the seventh day. So the Gemara says now, it wants to teach us something else. "Vayhi b'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbos hoyo." It was the seventh day, it was Shabbos. And it wanted to show the difference between Ahasuerus and his colleagues and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they also drink on Shabbos. And what do? They go and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ahasuerus and his colleagues drunk, they drank, and they went and they said, "Bring in Vashti that we may gaze at her." When it comes to the nations of the world, the wine which has a power, Nichnas Yain v'yetzei Seid, that wine, the Gemara says, has the power to bring out the most inner parts of a person. Ha'odom Niker B'Kesei, one of the ways to recognize a person is under the influence of wine. By the nations of the world, when it brings out their depths, they say, "Bring Vashti that we may gaze at her." Israel, when they're under the influence of wine, they say, "Let us go and praise the Almighty." Now what does this show? That not only we have the ability to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we see him, or to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we know him. Those are very high levels. But we also have the ability to praise the Almighty even without seeing him and without knowing him. And therefore, Chayav Odom Sume Bipuria Adilayoda, that a person is obligated to drink on Purim in order that he could praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when he does not know. Because this was the great level miracle that came from there. And this is why the Gemara says, Lo Yavor Asidim Kol HaMayadim Libotl. All of the Yom Tovim will become secondary. The Gemara in Masechta Brochos, at the end of the first parak, states that when the Melech HaMashiach comes, no longer will the Yom Tovim play such a foremost role compared to the new Yontif that we will have because of the Melech HaMashiach. Why? Gives an example. A man was walking along and all of a sudden he was attacked. He was attacked by a snake. He killed the snake, so he goes and sings about his rescue from the snake. Then he was attacked by a bear. He kills the bear, and no longer does he speak about being saved from a serpent. He speaks about being saved from a bear. Then he was attacked by a lion and he was saved. He tells about the lion. All of the Yom Tovim that were built on the cornerstone of the Exodus from Egypt, when the Melech HaMashiach will bring us out from the Shibud Malchios, from this exile, the miracles will be greater. And therefore, our new Yontif will be that one. And the rest will become secondary. But Purim, this will not affect. Because those Yom Tovim are because of what we will see. And we will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu because what we see. But Purim is not based on what we see. Purim is based on what we don't see. And that always will have its place. Therefore, Lo Yavor Mizichrom, it will never cease. It will always be fulfilled. And it's perhaps for this reason that in the Megillah we find that the Jews were called Yehudim. And they ask the question, why were they called Yehudim? They were not only from the tribe of Judah. And various answers are given. One answer perhaps is because where did Yehuda come from? Yehuda was born from Leah. And when he was born, Leah said, Hapam Eidel Hashem, this time I shall surely praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he has given me more than my share of sons. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, he was the fourth. And she's had now more than her share. So he was born and he was named after the word praise. And the greatest praise to the Almighty came through the miracle of Purim. This Yom Tov of Purim is known as the Yom Tov of the Golus. This was the only major Yom Tov that we had that took place in the Golus. All of the others either took place in Eretz Yisrael or before Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, when the Gemara says it had a level of Eretz Yisrael. And this is very important to all Jews in the Golus. And this does not only mean the Jews in the actual Golus, this means Purim in Eretz Yisrael too. Because even though Baruch Hashem we have an Eretz Yisrael today, but still it's not Reiv Yisrael al Admosam. The majority of the Jews of the world have not been returned, and the Beis Hamikdash is not there, and it's Golus HaShechina, and the Shechina has not returned there to its full glory. So therefore Purim is important to Eretz Yisrael also. And there's a time in everyone's life, not once and not twice, but constantly. When a person finds himself in his own golus, a person finds himself closed in completely by darkness, where he cannot see miracles and he cannot hear them, and through the greatest pondering of his intellect, he fails to understand the situations. And that's Onechi Aster Aster. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will conceal himself from Klal Yisrael and from every individual. And that's what the Gemara says, Zu Esther. It is at this time there is the power in every Jew that from a complete dark situation they can make light from. Laihudim Haisa Ora. From a complete negative situation they can come to the inner understanding without explanation, without themselves knowing why, to know that in this darkness is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that revealed himself on the sea, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that revealed himself on the mountain, is the one that revealed himself in Shushan Habira or in any other place in the Golus. Except his garb is a different garb. One garment he wore by the sea, another garment he wore by the mountain, and another garment he wears in the Golus, and that's a garment of darkness. And that's what David HaMelech said. Even then, Le'ir Oro, I have no fear, because you are with me. And therefore the Shira that was sung at the sea was in accordance to the garment that the Almighty wore there. The Shira, which is sung on Purim, is accordance to the garment that the Almighty wore there. It is the song coming from the depths of the soul of the Yehudim, giving praise to the Almighty, even though they cannot see Him. Even though it is complete darkness. But nevertheless, the praise and this nondescriptible knowing is as strong as all the others. And therefore, lo yavor, it shall never cease from their seed. We should be zeche to acquire the light that Purim brings for Jews all over the world. Laihudim haisa eira v'simcha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.